we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Chichester Observer read by Harriet Cass.
Chichester Council staff were unable to clear a dustbin from a stream 4 inches deep because they lacked the necessary training. David Barnard, Vice Chairman of South Harting Parish Council, said, "I spoke to someone from the department dealing with fly tipping, and he told me we don't have anyone qualified to wear Wellington boots."
And our thanks to Dave Baker of Purton for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Hugo Rifkin. And opposite them on my left, Joe Caulfield and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, who is banking on a better bailout bill?
Well, do you want to hear my theory
about
this whole global financial crisis?
Yes,
we are all victims of a conspiracy. Clearly, this whole global financial crisis has been engineered by Robert Peston as a career move. I mean, I love him. I love that Robert Peston. It's like a Dalek trying to do an impression of Kenneth Williams, isn't it? But I think, thanks to Robert Peston, I have a kind of impression of where it all went wrong. And I think it dates to the mid-1990s, when I remember picking up a newspaper and seeing an advert for a bank, a modern glossy bank. I can't remember which one it was, but their slogan was innovative banking. And I remember thinking, those are two words that shouldn't really be put together. You know, if we're going to go down that road of managed risk-taking, then, you know, we should go with people who know what they're doing. But fundamentally, we should hand the whole economy over to Ladbrokes. Shouldn't we? Because they know about sensible risk-taking. They wouldn't have any truck with all this stuff about futures and stuff like that. If some 23-year-old from Basildon walked into Ladbrokes and said, "I'd like to place an $8 million bet that the price of iron ore will be up 14% in 2011, they'd just say, "Go on, son, you're pissed." And now this bailout, $7 trillion.
There was a White House spokesman who said they came up with that figure because it just seemed like a nice big figure. I can think of a bigger figure.
What, than $7 trillion?
$8
trillion? Yeah. Or they could have started making up the illions, couldn't they? They could sort of, you know, a bermillion or something.
Apparently, everybody who's got any leftover money at the end of the year, which isn't many of us, is supposed to be buying gold now. I haven't kept track of it because I'm not one of those petty bourgeois or avaricious Tin Henman fans who listens to Moneybox. But and Peston,
do you not find the words "live" after Moneybox so hilarious?
Peston,
can't possibly be live.
Peston said
that's
we
what
were.
Gives it that electricity.
Oh, is it?
A lot of people said we're staring into the abyss. He said we're staring into the abyss. Now, I've seen The Sound of Music many times, and that's not a picture I'm comfortable with, I have to say. But I'm just glad that Labour's finally doing what they should have done in 1945 and nationalising the banks.
Well, it is a very weird time, and it's like Cold War but reversal, in that America is nationalising wealth and invading Afghanistan, and Russia are oil-rich capitalists.
I do like the idea of banks being in public ownership. You know, that it's our money that saves them. That means that if you go into the bank and the bank manager takes you to task over your arrears, you can just say, "Listen, bitch, I own you."
They've been saying the post office is about the safest place to put your money. I thought that's because by the time you get to the front of the queue, the recession will be over. The US Senate has approved a $700 billion bailout for the American financial system. The plan now goes to the House of Representatives, unless, of course, you're listening to the Saturday repeat, in which case it already has. Nobody knows how the House will react to the amended plan, unless you're listening to the Saturday repeat, in which case everybody does, and I feel a fool. Hugo, which character boasted about his lack of experience this week?
I suppose it was David Cameron.
It was indeed.
In his speech at the Conservative Party conference, which everyone's very pleased with because it was boring. And everyone was, does David Cameron have the power to be as boring as Gordon Brown? Can he see us through this turbulent time by being very boring? And we're all very pleased to say, yes, David Cameron can be as boring as Gordon Brown. So everything's fine.
He did have all the dog whistle, knee-jerk stuff in there to please the faithful, though. And you expected him at some point to say, so, what do you think? Call in. We're talking about right-wing nonsense on Talk Radio. And he said something about how he had sex with his wife or something. Everyone thought, good God, that's disgusting. Hasn't he got a researcher? So that would have lost him a lot of support.
What does his wife do? The wife is very important now. What does the wife do?
Well, he said, I couldn't follow his logic, because he said, I understand about small businesses and entrepreneurs because I sleep with one every night. And I thought, well, Tony Blair sleeps with a judge, but he never seemed to know the law. If that were true, if you accumulated knowledge from everybody you slept with, then logically our next PM should be Peter Stringfellow. Which actually isn't that bad an idea.
In his speech to the Conservative Conference in Birmingham, David Cameron argued that the value of leadership lay not in experience, but in character, and he dismissed the need for the Prime Minister to have experience. In his hour-long speech, he invoked the name of Margaret Thatcher, who wasn't actually in the hall. She was circling overhead. The Tories also promised to reinstate weekly wheelie bin collections, or wages, as they'll soon be known. So, 2 points to Hugo. Now, I have to say that we're recording this before what I consider to be the great news event of this week, which is the vice presidential debate between the Moose and Joe Biden. But just to welcome Sarah back to the news quiz. I love her so much. I don't know if any of you heard her on the Today programme, but here she is explaining why we should back John McCain.
He's also known as the Maverick, though, taking shots from his own party and certainly taking shots from the other party, trying to get people to understand what he's been talking about.
I'm just going to ask you one more time, not to belabor the point, specific examples in his 26 years of pushing for more regulation.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
So, Joe, I mean, we haven't heard the debate because we're recording this before the debate, but how do you think she did? Oh.
I can't wait, because I hadn't heard that, because I'd been in the States and I'd seen Tina Fey doing her on Saturday Night Live, and that is exactly what she did. I didn't believe that that is really how she is like.
Mm. Yes,
and she does constantly say that she knows where Russia is. There's Alaska, and there's some water, and then there's a foreign country called Russia. And this is exactly what she says. You know, God knows what the actual question was. It was probably, what do you think about the Middle East? Well, I do know one foreign country. It's called Russia.
Apparently, she carries coloured cue cards to remind herself of her views. I thought, if you got those mixed up with a colour swatch from World of Leather, she probably... What was the reaction, though, when you've been in America? Mm. I mean, was she being teased, or was she being...
She wasn't teased for ages because people kind of went, oh, she's a mom, let's not be sexist.
OK.
And then they went, oh, she's a dangerous idiot. Let's really lay into her.
But what's his name, the other one, Biden? The big danger is if he's condescending to... How would you not be condescending to somebody?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets carried away, Biden, apparently. He's got that thing that quite a few politicians seem to have, this thing of talking about a story and saying, well, of course, my plane came under fire. And you think, what is it with politicians? They obviously like to think of themselves as, you know, I'm really a Marine in a suit.
That's probably the one time that Sarah Palin would be able to say, I got out of a plane and I was under fire because it's her and her friends hunting.
Yeah. So, wait a minute, there was a story in the tabloids this week that Anton Deck came under fire in Helmand Province. Is that not true either? Is that just wishful thinking?
The best tip I ever heard for telling the difference between Anton Deck is the ant is the one who looks like an ant. It's brilliant.
Okay. Do you know, hard as I try, I can't bring either of them to mind. I go in there and I get Paris Hilton. That's very worrying, isn't it?
But I'm looking forward to this wedding. This is going to be the highlight, because apparently...
Ant and Deck are getting married.
Yeah. Have you not heard?
It's a thing.
They married in secret years ago. The whole showbiz knows. One of the rumours is that to try and distract from all the criticism of her, Sarah Palin is going to get her pregnant daughter, Bristol, I mean, why would you name your daughter Bristol? Certainly not if you've ever been to Bristol, but anyway.
I don't think it's that strange. I've got a child called Bogner. I'm fine with that.
But anyway, she's going to get her pregnant daughter to marry her boyfriend. Apparently there's going to be a shotgun wedding. And she's pretty good with a shotgun.
Anyway, it was 2 points to Joe. This is the big debate in St. Louis between vice presidential candidates Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. And Sarah Palin is seen as the ultimate hockey mum. Ice cold and should be beaten with sticks. 2 points to Joe. Jeremy, who will no longer be helping the police with their inquiries?
Well, one presumes it's Sir Ian Blair. I didn't even know he was a sir. I thought only people as important and dignified as Elton John were knights of the realm these days. But Sir Ian Blair has got the push because Boris Johnson doesn't. I don't know who to decide within this. It's a difficult one. Boris Johnson doesn't like him because he doesn't speak classical Greek, apparently. And the cops don't like him because he's a tightwad and doesn't take them out to dinner or whatever.
I think his mistake as a police commissioner was when things got tough, he didn't reach for the bat phone. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
But there's this story breaking, apparently, that he was in
trouble.
Oh, it
broke days ago. Go on, there's a story breaking that what? Today, on Thursday.
Today, oh, yes, yeah,
should
sorry.
Point out that this show is recorded in March.
I actually recorded this bit in January. Sir Ian Blair paid someone £15,000 to be an image consultant and improve Sir Ian Blair's image.
That went well.
Yeah.
When you're an ex-copper, all that remains is for you to go and advertise awnings on daytime television.
Yes, indeed. Blair resigns. A headline so enjoyable it's been used twice in 2 years. Head of the Metropolitan Police, Sir Ian Blair, has announced he's to step down as Britain's most senior policeman after losing the confidence of London Mayor Boris Johnson. I don't know what you have to do to lose the confidence of Boris Johnson. So 2 points to Jeremy. And at the end of round one, the scores are Andy and Hugo have got 4 points, but so have Joe and Jeremy. Round two with a quote from a leaflet advertising a weekend conference on food and drink.
5:15 p.m. Lecture on gluttony and drunkenness in the early modern period. The humanist's approach, presented by Demi Verbiker. 6:30 p.m. Bar opens. 7 p.m. Dinner.
And our thanks to Bernadette Utz for sending that in. Andy, which old Avenger helped out some old soldiers?
This is Joanna Lumley. She was in The Avengers, not the original Avengers, with Diana Rigg. Now, that was good. She was in the one with Gareth Hunt, and she played
Purdy,
that's it. Anyway.
It's like a meeting of senior citizens.
And it used to come on after...
Tell a lie, it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
Oh,
And neither do we, which is the reason.
They're sending us boys.
That explains the Avengers in your cryptic clues,
yes,
Sandy. That's the
correct.
Avengers
yes.
bit. Is Joanna Lumley was campaigning on behalf of the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas who signed up as Gurkhas after a certain point...
It was only Gurkhas who retired after 1997 had an automatic right to stay. So presumably, the government thought anybody who'd retired before 1997 was frankly a slacker.
Yeah, and it seemed a bit hard, to put it mildly, on the Gurkhas. Gurkhas are very, very tough people. Me and my wife went trekking in Nepal many, many years ago, and I'm ashamed to say that we had a Gurkha bearer who carried our rucksacks.
I thought she was going to say you.
Yeah, well... the thought did cross my mind. Anyway, he was always trudging along behind us, and we got to a frozen waterfall. And it was quite narrow, the bit of the frozen waterfall that we had to go across. And our Sherpa could see I was a bit nervous. And he said, "You just take your time. You can do this, you know." So I must have taken 30, 40 minutes to pluck up the courage to inch my way across this bit of frozen waterfall. And when I got to the other side, I felt so proud of this achievement. And then I watched as our Gurkha, who had flip-flops on, just came across, go flip-flop, flip-flop, in about 5 seconds.
Andy, did you then say he could come and live in your house in Wimbledon? No, you didn't, did you?
No. We gave him a pair of socks.
How mean is that? give socks to a man who's got flip-flops?
But yeah, you won't be so nifty over the frozen water.
Yes, 2 points there to Andy. Joanna Lumley supported the campaign for retired Gurkhas to stay in the country, which won its test case in the High Court this week, and the judgment could affect 2,000 Gurkhas. You have got to admire the government's nerve holding on for so long against 2,000 trained killers. It's an odd thing, but Jackie Smith's got balls. Hugo, why are you more likely to get your porky pies online?
This would be, there is a report that was out today or yesterday which says it's people find it much, much easier to lie over email, which is great news because it probably means that 97% of women are in fact quite satisfied with my size.
Yes, apparently it's okay to lie in an email. People feel comfortable about lying in an email. I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it? You can't trust a Nigerian prince, who can you trust?
All these Nigerian princes with their billions of dollars that they're prepared to share with your bank account, but no functioning caps lock button. Yeah.
2 points to Hugo. People are more likely to lie on an email, according to new research. In a test, students were given $89 and asked to split it with someone, and emailers gave away, on average, $29, keeping $60 for themselves. The researchers put this down to dishonesty, but I don't think we can rule out poor maths. Joe, why might students lose their cap?
It's the man, can't remember his name, who gave away Hong Kong, that bloke.
Chris Patton.
I mean, it was arranged. He didn't just go, you can have it, you know. And then people went, oh, you've given it away. Well, we can't really go back on that, you know. But don't give away any other land. So Chris Patton, he's got very cross because I think he said it shouldn't be just £3,000 for fees. It should be they can put up the fees to whatever they all like.
It was complicated, though. I mean, the removal of the cap, not a sentence I have to say any woman is ever comfortable with. It would pave the way for sort of mortgage-style graduate debts. And what do you? Yeah. What happens if you can't keep up the repayments? Are they going to repossess your degree? I mean, will you be able to buy a second-hand degree at auction? Oh, actually, I think you can already. But yeah. I mean, it's complicated, isn't it? It's not easy. Did you know that I stood against Chris Patton as Chancellor for Oxford University? Did you know this? I got 25% of the vote, despite being a woman and from Cambridge, which I was tremendously pleased about.
What did he get?
He got the position, obviously. I don't know what they gave him, a bottle of port and a hat. I don't know what happened. 2 points to Joe. The Chancellor of Oxford University, Chris Patton, has called for the cap on higher education tuition fees to be removed, as £3,000 a year is intolerably low. In particular, he's called for middle-class students to pay higher tuition fees. Middle classes. Another couple of weeks and there won't be any middle classes. I'll be fighting tooth and nail for a tin of baked beans and a burnt-out Waitrose. Jeremy, what shocking truth has been faithfully proved this week?
Somebody's been experimenting on Catholics. What they did...
Ruth Kelly had to find something to do.
Yeah. they got some Catholics and showed them pictures of the Blessed Virgin while electrocuting them. They got Roman Catholics and they got atheists. This was an experiment, so you've got to have a mixture of subjects, obviously. They showed them a picture of the Virgin Mary and then a picture of something else. That was the other bit of the experiment. And they gave them electric shocks, and they found that the Roman Catholics, when shown a picture of the Blessed Virgin, didn't mind the pain so much, because they're being electrocuted, going, Holy Mary, Mother, arch yourself! How are you?
How bored must those scientists have been? You think, I think they're a bunch of atheist scientists. They thought, do you know what? Let's get some Catholics and electrocute them and we'll pretend it's an experiment.
Well, researchers at Oxford University have discovered that faith in God can relieve pain. Academics at the Oxford Centre for Science of the Mind gave electric shocks to 12 Roman Catholics and 12 atheists whilst showing them a picture of the Virgin Mary. Tempting way to spend a weekend. volunteers who were shown a picture of Rowan Williams all begged for the electric shock to take their mind off it.
Actually, Joe, you're a Catholic. Explain this. Why does the Virgin Mary speak in that strangely stilted way? But how can this be? I am a virgin. How can I have a baby? Joseph, we have wonderful news. I am to have a baby, and he will be called Jesus.
See, now you're just teasing, because it was one of my best performances. Fine use of my mother's tea towel. Now... I can tell you that at the end of round two, Andy and Hugo have got 8 points, but so have Joe and Jeremy. Before we start round three, here is a headline from online encyclopedia search engine Encyclo.
This day in history. On September the 27th, 1938, the second of the Cunard Line Queens, SS Queen Elizabeth, was launched from the John Brown shipyard by Queen Elizabeth, wife of King George VI. She was 83,673 tons and 987 feet long.
Our thanks to Paul Buckland of Fife for sending us that. Andy, who was caught in a game of tinker, sailor, soldier, photographer?
It's a story about spying, obviously.
Yeah, it's about spying.
Was it in Metro?
Quite possibly. No, it was on eBay.
Yeah, it could have been in the for sale section of Metro. Hugo?
Yep, I nearly put up my hand there. That doesn't work on radio at all, does it?
No, but you get an extra point for charm.
Bless you.
Do it again.
Please, please, miss.
Andy and Hugo leap into the lead.
Somebody bought a camera on eBay that had pictures that they reckon were an MI6 spy's pictures on it, which is worrying on all sorts of levels, not least because you think maybe in the bowels of MI6 there's somebody with a picture of a toddler on a beach and with a sign that says Osama bin Laden underneath.
What were the photos of?
Well, I mean, all sorts of things. There were rockets and missiles, as you say, the holiday snaps, and then you can imagine the conversation, the man saying to his wife, darling, is this you weeing on a terrorist? How did he know they were terrorist suspects? I mean, until you know it's a terrorist suspect, it's just a bloke in a cave.
Holding a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a clue.
Spies have always been useless. There's a great story about Kim Philby when he was spying for the Russians at the heart of the British Secret Service. So he was at huge personal risk. He was, copying documents, putting them in an envelope and sending them to a safe house address in France, in Paris. And he did this for years. And then one day, many years later, he was on holiday in Paris, and he thought, well, just for sentimental reasons, I'll go and see whether my safe house is as I imagined it. So he went to this address, and it was the Soviet embassy. So, luckily, the British Secret Service were as useless as the Russians.
A man from Hemel Hempstead has bought an ex-MI6 camera, which turned up on eBay with photos of terror suspects still saved on it. The page on eBay said, customers who enjoyed this product also enjoyed a set of CDs containing the personal details of half the country. 2 points there to the Andy and Hugo team. Hugo, why are cartoon villains giving consumer groups food for thought?
The consumer group Which, I think it is, mm-hmm. has just issued a report saying that cartoon characters should no longer be allowed to advertise foods because it encourages children to eat them. Very bad news for Tony the Tiger and Cocoa Pops Monkey and David Miliband, who's apparently now advertising bananas. All these people will soon be out of a job. So, yeah, they won't be able to advertise them with cartoon characters anymore. You just have to stick with, pictures and slogans like Cocoa Pops, so chocolatey it even turns the milk brown, which I've always found very threatening sometimes.
I suppose if they had cartoon characters that were a bit more realistic, then it would be okay. So if you could have Donnie the Attention Deficit Dingo, that would be it. Did you know that Tony the Tiger was picked by the public? That there was a competition to pick Tony the Tiger? There was Katie the Kangaroo, there was Elmo the Elephant, and Newt the Gnu.
Is there any animal that doesn't eat Frosties?
I was nearly the voice of the Nesquik Bunny. I was offered the gig.
What happened?
They gave it to Joe Pasquale.
Is that true? Are you really? We're going to be the rabbit on the...
Yeah, not the sexy one.
Oh.
Andy, never admit in public that you find rabbits sexy.
Work for Hugh Hefner. Consumer group Which has called for cartoon characters such as Tony the Tiger to be banned from advertising unhealthy foods. Tony the Tiger has appeared in Frosty's commercials since 1952. He's currently playing Hamlet at the Donmar Warehouse. Mind you, the Honey Monster started advertising Sugar Puffs and he's now Mayor of London, so... Joe, why will an airport passenger soon have nothing to declare but his G-string?
Well, do you know, I laughed when I saw the pictures. It's a scanner at the airport, and it's new rays or something. So you go through, and they can see through your clothes. I think it could be a good citizenship test, that if you are able to look at the screen without giggling and going, I can see a naked bottom, then you're not British. Clearly, you're not British.
So they can see, but they can see your bits and pieces.
Yeah, no, this picture you could see the one I saw in the paper. They did the man from behind. You could definitely see bottom, but they did that weird thing, a bit sort of action manny. There was something sort of moving to the side, but you couldn't quite see full frontal.
Did they pixelate him?
They'd sort of smushed it. Right. Yeah.
It's going to be a whole series of new questions at security, aren't there? Did you pack that lunchbox yourselves? This is the news that digital body scanners, which produce a naked image of passengers, including, and I quote, the outline of genitalia, will be installed at EU airports within 2 years. Passengers walk into a large booth where electromagnetic waves are beamed onto the body to create a virtual 3D image, although I have to say, if the operator gets the dose wrong, the passenger dematerialises and is beamed to another planet. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Tom Everest of London SW14, but bizarrely it's from the Aberdeen Press and Journal. There's one very annoyed paper boy. and it says, Stuart Kennedy's court appearance. We have been asked to point out that Stuart Kennedy, who appeared at Peterhead's Sheriff Court on Monday, had 316 pink frilly garters confiscated, not 316 pink frilly knickers.
Hugo.
This is from Louise Dawe in Sheffield, and it's a cutting from The Observer on the 22nd of June, and it's an interview with James Blunt. Question, what's your attitude to health? Answer, I've probably got leftovers from the army when it comes to my health. I understand you have to look after yourself to keep the machine working. Having said that, I'm also quite happy to abuse myself.
Joe.
This is the programme of the meeting for training doctors in gynaecology at York at 6 p.m. welcome reception where there will be drinks and nipples.
Mr. Hamilton.
This is from John Watson, and it was a stadium announcement during a Worcestershire cricket match, and the announcement went as follows. Alex from Tiverton, your wife called to say that she is fine and the airbag on the Mondeo definitely works.
Let's take a look at the final scores. I can tell you that Joe and Jeremy have got 12 points, but Andy and Hugo, through charm and proper manners, are the winners with 14. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Times, sent in by Alastair Brown.
The model railway world was left reeling yesterday after details emerged of the theft of a model train. Paul Boulder, the self-proclaimed seventh best modeller in Britain, was fined £75 after he was caught at a car boot sale trying to sell a model locomotive entrusted to him for repairs by a fellow member of the Great Yarmouth and District Model Railway Club. Boulder also lost his club membership. It's not a friendly club, he explained.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Hugo Rifkin, Joe Caulfield and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and James Sherwood, with additional material by Stephen Carlin and John Luke Roberts. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.